Reading today is taken in the book of Matthew, chapter 10, from verse 34. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever do not take up a cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their lives for my sake will find it. Anyone who welcomes you welcomes me, and anyone who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcome a prophet as prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward. This is the word of God.
Amen. Thank you, Auntie. It is indeed the word of God. So let's ask for his help. Father, we come before you and we simply say, Lord, speak, because your servants are listening. Amen. Amen. When I was in my early 20s, I had a job as a purchasing assistant for an electronics company which specialised in voltage protection. Now, I quite enjoyed my time at this job. I met some nice people. I didn't mind the work. But there were certainly some days when it didn't feel like what I was doing was very important. I remember one day in particular where I found myself in this windowless room in some backwater industrial estate in Slough, printing off old orders and filing them away alphabetically in a forgotten cupboard which I never saw opened, in the very slight chance that the auditors might want to take a look at the physical copies of those old orders. To be honest, I'm not sure it was actually a job that needed doing. I think they were just keeping me busy that day. Perhaps you also have had days like that at work or at home, where it doesn't feel like you've done anything particularly important or meaningful. That can be quite discouraging, those kind of days. Well, good news, because the job that our Lord Jesus has given us is nothing like that. When we understand the mission that Jesus has called us to, that gives great meaning, great significance to all that we do, whether it be very big or whether it be very small. Jesus wants us to know that the mission he has called us to matters, that it really means something, and therefore we mean something. Do you know, we are the most important people in the world. Did you know that? We, Jesus' people, are the most important people in the entire world. Maybe that seems like a bit of a statement to make. Perhaps you don't really feel like that for yourself, that you're an important person in God's view. But we, God's people, are the most important people in the entire world. And Jesus gives two reasons for this. Messengers on mission matter. And messengers on mission matter for a couple of reasons. The first is this: because of who we represent. Because of who we represent. Take a look at verse 40. Anyone who welcomes you welcomes me. And anyone who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. This is a nice change of tone, isn't it? Over the last few weeks, we've listened in to this mission briefing as Jesus gathers his disciples and sends them out on mission to PTK. Do you remember PTK? Proclaim the kingdom. That's what he's called us to do, to proclaim the kingdom in our words and in our deeds. And so far, as we've listened in, it's been quite difficult listening, quite a bitter pill to swallow. Jesus has talked a lot about the kind of opposition and division and persecution that we can expect to face. He's talked a lot about rejection, but now, here in verse 40, it's quite a nice change of tone. He's talking about welcome, welcoming. There will be some people who welcome us, who accept our message, who welcome us. That idea of welcome is the sense of receiving someone with open arms. This week was the first week for quite some time where, according to the government guidelines, we've been allowed to hug family and friends. Hasn't that been a wonderful thing to be able to hug people again? It's been lovely to see people embracing one another. It's such a natural way of showing your affection, such a natural way of welcoming someone. It's the same idea of welcoming someone. It's the same word that's used for the old man Simeon in the temple when he received the baby Jesus and took him in his arms. It's that idea of receiving someone with open arms. You see, no matter how bad things get, no matter how much opposition and persecution and rejection we face, there will be some who welcome us, who receive us with open arms. Just like Rahab. Do you remember Rahab, who took in the spies in Jericho? There will be some among a hostile world who recognize who we represent. You see, when people welcome us, they're not just welcoming us. Have a look again at verse 40. Anyone who welcomes you welcomes me, Jesus says. And anyone who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. If the Queen sent you a messenger to your house, Carnell, a queen sent a messenger to your house and you invited that messenger in for a cup of tea, you're not just welcoming the messenger, you're also welcoming the one whom the messenger represents. You're showing hospitality to the Queen by showing hospitality to her messenger. To welcome a disciple is to welcome Jesus, is to welcome God. That's the significance of welcoming his disciples. In chapter 25, Jesus goes on to talk about when he returns, when the Son of Man returns, and he will commend his people for how they have welcomed him and served him. He will say, you saw me hungry and you gave me something to eat. You saw me thirsty and you gave me something to drink. You saw me naked and you clothed me. And his people will say, what do you mean? When did we see you any of those things? When did we serve you in those ways? And this is what Jesus will say. Truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. How you treat Jesus is shown by how you treat Jesus's people. What you do for the family of Jesus, you actually do for Jesus. Jesus is represented by his brothers and sisters. And so messengers on mission really matter, because like ambassadors in a hostile world, we are representing God in the world. Isn't that an amazing privilege? Just let that sink in for a moment. We are representatives of God. The God of the whole universe lives in you if you are a disciple of the Lord Jesus. The Lord of all the earth, the one who breathed out the stars and the planets, the one who sustains all things by his mighty word, the God of Everest, the God of every atom that makes up your body, the God that gives you every breath that you breathe, the God that makes your heart beat every second or so. The God of unapproachable glory, the one who lives in unapproachable light. The God not simply of creation, but the God of salvation, the God of eternity, the one who has no beginning and no end, the God who is bigger than we can ever imagine. That God has chosen to use you to make himself known. He has chosen you to reveal his glory in your workplace, in your school, in your neighborhood. Wherever you find yourself, you are representative of God himself. What an awesome privilege. Messengers on mission really matter because we are representing God himself. As one commentator put it, when these disciples went out and they were welcomed into the homes of those who would show them hospitality, he says this: God himself enters the house with Jesus' messengers. God himself enters that house with Jesus' messengers. Messengers on mission matter. What authority and significance this gives to our mission. Do you realize that as you share Jesus with your friends or your colleagues or your neighbors or your family, as you proclaim the kingdom with your words and with your deeds, you are representing God. That's why it matters so much what we say and how we live. That's why it matters so much how people respond to us. The stakes are really high. When we are on mission for Jesus, we're representing God. But this mission actually isn't just for when we are actively opening our mouth to speak about Jesus. Actually, this mission, if we understand it correctly, gives us great meaning even in the most mundane moments of life. This gives us great significance even in those days where we feel like we're not doing anything particularly meaningful or important. When we are filing those old orders, or doing some boring admin task, or caring for an elderly relative, or wiping your child's bottom, or sat in a class that you don't really want to be in. It might not seem very important or very significant, but actually those moments take on great significance when you realize that if you are a disciple of the Lord Jesus, in those places, in those moments, and to those people, you are representing God. It gives eternal value to everything that we do. Messengers on mission matter because of who we represent. And also because of the reward. Are you still with me this morning? Everyone looks like they're kind of really upset. This is actually a really encouraging message, or it should be. I know I can't see you smile, but I can see your eyes, okay? So you can smile at me with your eyes. This is supposed to be a great encouragement to us this morning. It's been tough work so far going through Matthew 10. But here we're told the importance and the significance of who we are as disciples of Jesus because of the role that Jesus has given us. We are representing God. But also the other reason why we're so significant and so important is because of the reward. So get this. How people respond to us, messengers of God, how people respond to us determines whether or not they will receive and enjoy God's undeserved rewards that he's got in store for his people. That's what's at stake. That's why we are so important, because how people respond to us, as we go out, how people respond to us determines whether they too will receive and enjoy God's undeserved reward. Take a look at verse 41 with me. Whoever welcomes a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. Whoever welcomes someone because of who they are. If you welcome a prophet because they are a prophet, someone who speaks God's word. If anyone welcomes a righteous person because they're a righteous person, someone who lives God's way. If anyone welcomes a disciple of Jesus, not simply out of common courtesy, but because they recognize who they are, they recognize that they are representatives of God. Well, if you welcome a representative of God, like the Queen, you're actually welcoming the person that they represent. And if you're welcoming God, you can expect God's rewards. Think of the lady at Shunem, who used to put on a lovely meal for the prophet Elisha every time Elisha was traveling past. And so she says to her husband, "I know that this man who often comes our way is a holy man of God." She recognizes that he's a prophet, he's a holy man of God. "So let's make a small room on the roof and put in it a bed and a table, a chair and a lamp for him. Then he can come and stay there whenever he comes to us." She recognizes that this is a representative of God, a holy man of God. And so she welcomes him. She shows him hospitality. And because she has shown him that hospitality and that welcome, she receives a wonderful reward. Elisha says, "What can be done for this lady?" And God ends up granting her a son. Or think of the lady, the sinful woman, at the meal table, who wept at the feet of Jesus and washed his feet with her tears and wiped his feet with her hair. She showed him great welcome, great hospitality. And so she went away with a great reward. Jesus says, "Go in peace, your sins are forgiven." There is great blessing that comes with welcoming God by welcoming his messenger, his representative. And so as Jesus sends his disciples out on this mission, it's not all rejection. It's not all division. You can say praise God if you want to say praise God. It is not all rejection. It is not all division. There are some amongst whom we go to for whom this message will ring true. There are some to whom we go to amongst whom we will be welcome. And to them, those who welcome the message and the messengers, there will come a great blessing. And this blessing doesn't come simply for huge acts of hospitality. It's not just for those who build a spare room on the roof of their house. Have you got any room on the roof of your house for a passing prophet? Maybe not. It's not just for people who can do something like that, or people like that sinful woman who broke open the expensive bottle of perfume on the feet of Jesus. Actually, it could be for very small things. Verse 42. "And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward." A cup of cold water. It's a simple thing. It is a common courtesy. A cup of cold water does not deserve a reward. If Carnell, I don't know why I keep talking about Carnell, it's because you're looking at me, listening well. I'll choose someone else. If Jemima came to me and said, "Can I have a cup of cold water?" I'd say to her, "Of course you can. Cup of tap water, don't mind if you do." If she then said, "Oh, can I pay you for that?" I'd say, "No, of course you can't pay me for that. It's just a cup of cold water." This is the smallest, cheapest act of service or support that you could ever give to anyone. And yet, even something like that will not go unnoticed or unrewarded. Maybe some of you are keeping a track on whether before the end of the service I'm going to trip over that or not. It might actually happen soon. But even something like a cup of cold water will not go unrewarded or unnoticed. I think that's a wonderful encouragement, particularly for those of us who perhaps feel like we don't have much to offer. I can't offer what some of these other guys can offer, whether that be financially or otherwise. You know, I can't really contribute much. What a lovely thing to know that God is keeping a tally of even all the small things, and it all adds up. He sees, he knows, and it won't go unrewarded. Even a cup of cold water, you will surely not lose your reward, because you see, it's not about the value of what we can give, but it's about that attitude of welcome. One old preacher said, there can be an ocean of warm love in a cup of cold water. There can be an ocean of warm love in a cup of cold water. It's about that attitude of welcome. You see, we can't earn our reward. Notice, if you've got a Bible in front of you, that throughout this passage, Jesus keeps saying, anyone who welcomes you, anyone who welcomes you, whoever welcomes a prophet, if anyone gives even a cup of cold water. You see, the only thing they need to do is to have that attitude of welcome. Someone's reward from the Lord, anyone's reward from the Lord, is not based on anything other than that attitude. It is not based on background. It is not based on upbringing. It is not even based on how much we can contribute towards the mission. It is simply based on our attitude towards Jesus' message and his messengers, whether we welcome the message of Jesus or not. That is those who will receive that reward. Whoever welcomes Jesus will surely not lose their reward, Jesus says. Have you? Have you welcomed Jesus and the message of Jesus? Have you believed the good news of Jesus for yourself? Have you received him with open arms? It might be costly. We've talked about that in the last few weeks. It might be costly to do that in a hostile world. For those, as the disciples went out on that first mission, for those who provided hospitality, who welcomed those disciples into their home, there may have been a cost to that, a social cost. But you won't lose out. Jesus says, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward. Truly I tell you, certainly not. You can be sure that if you welcome Jesus, you will not be left shortchanged. What is this reward? Well, finally we get to this, which I haven't yet tripped over. I think there's something now. There's a reward that comes when Jesus returns. And there's a forever reward as well. So now, the reward that those who welcome Jesus can expect is the reward of peace. Have a look at verse 13. It's not on the screen, but it's in your Bibles. You might remember that when Jesus sent out the disciples, he said to them, verse 12, as you enter the home, give it your greeting. Remember that greeting was shalom, the greeting of peace. Peace be to this house. If the home is deserving, as in if they will welcome you, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. So there are those who welcome those disciples, and if they welcome those disciples and provided them hospitality, then the disciples' blessing of peace would rest on that house. They would experience peace now. If we welcome the message of Jesus, we can expect to experience now peace with God, which leads to peace within, which is the basis of peace with others. The peace that Jesus won at the cross. And just like he said to that sinful woman, go in peace, your sins are forgiven. That's the kind of peace that we can know for ourselves too. Because on the cross, when Jesus died, it was as if he drank the cup of God's wrath against our sin so that he could pour out his living water to us. Peace. Is that what you're looking for today? It starts at the cross. Peace now. Peace with God. Won for us at the cross of the Lord Jesus. So right now we can expect peace. There's something that we can expect, a reward that will come to those who welcome Jesus when Jesus returns. And this is the reward of acknowledgement. Does that have another E? Let's go with yeah. Acknowledgement. When Jesus returns, we will receive the acknowledgement of our Lord Jesus. Do you remember what I said earlier about chapter 25? And Jesus talking about the Son of Man returning. And what does he do? He commends his people for the way in which they've welcomed him by welcoming his people. He commends them. He says, well done, good and faithful servant. We will be acknowledged by our Lord. Isn't that wonderful? You see, right now, to welcome Jesus and to welcome his people, it may mean shame. We've talked a lot about that over the last few weeks, how there is a cost attached. But when Jesus returns on that final day, we will be unashamed because our Lord Jesus will acknowledge The fact that we have welcomed him and welcomed his people, we will not be left short. We will not have any regrets. The acknowledgement of our Lord Jesus on that day when he returns. And there's also a wonderful reward, which is a forever reward. There in chapter 25, Jesus talks about himself and he says, the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. King Jesus has prepared for us a kingdom. Those who welcome Jesus will be welcomed by Jesus, received with open arms to enjoy him forever. Followers of Jesus, this is our reward. Praise God, right? I'm sure that underneath your mask, you've got a big grin up to here, right? This is our reward, for those of us who have welcomed the Lord Jesus. But this is also what's at stake for those to whom we go. As we go out on mission, this is what's at stake. This is why we are the most important people in the world. I'm not being arrogant. We're not talking ourselves up too much. Because actually, messengers on mission matter. How people respond to us is a matter of life and death. We are representing the God of the universe. There is no higher calling. There is no better use of our every breath. As we go, as we proclaim the kingdom with our words and with our deeds, as we persevere, as we keep on keeping on, even when we face up to opposition and division and rejection. But as we keep going and as we keep going, there will be some to whom we go who will welcome us and welcome our message and welcome Jesus and enter into his eternal kingdom. There are some to whom we go. Not just generally, but those of us who are here in this room, those of us who are watching online, there are people out there to whom we will go, who because we go, will end up worshipping Jesus and rejoicing alongside us for all eternity. And won't that make heaven all the more sweet? And so as this mission briefing draws to a close, Jesus has prepared us for the grit and for the grind and for the glory of being on mission for Jesus. And he ends on a high. He wants us to know that it really matters, that we really matter. So let's go. Let's go with a spring in our step. Let's go bravely and courageously, even when we face opposition. Let's go confidently, knowing that some will welcome us and receive this eternal reward. And that makes it all worth it. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, energize us by your Spirit to be on mission for you. What a privilege. What an awesome responsibility. What a great joy to be representatives of God in the world. What an incredible thing to be able to take with us that message of life. The wonderful reward that comes from welcoming Jesus. Father, for any here this morning who have not yet welcomed Jesus and received him with open arms, we pray that today would be the day where they enter into this eternal kingdom simply by trusting in you. It is not based on what we can contribute. It is not based on what we offer to this mission, is not based on what we have done for you, but simply by receiving, welcoming the message of Jesus with great joy. And for those of us who know something of that joy, please would you give us that heart for the lost? Would you stir us up for this wonderful mission? Would you give us a centrality of the cross in everything that we do? And whether it be big things, whether it be exciting things that we can see are worthwhile, or whether it be the small and mundane things, help us to see the great value of every moment as those who are on mission for Jesus. And we pray that as we go, you would be pleased to bless our efforts, that the seed sown would bear much fruit, that your kingdom would come, that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray this for your glory, for the extension of your kingdom, and for the fame of your name. Amen.